Hello, welcome, and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is Hal, your occupational therapist, and welcome to OT Conversations. This OT Conversation and this episode of OT Conversation, I would say, is a relevant information involving occupational therapy. Because this is a foundational information, so it's a medical foundation. And this time, I would like us to have a discussion about heart pacing of the heart. What is it? Heart pacing or cardiac pacing, this is a method that is used to regulate the rhythm of the heart when the natural pacemaker is not functioning properly. Heart pacing or cardiac pacing, this is a system that is used to regulate the rhythm of the heart when the natural pacemaker, which is the sinoatrial node, is not functioning properly. And this pacing then is done by an artificial pacemaker. Let's start with the concept. Let's go back to the concepts of this pacing. So the normal electrical pathway of the heart is very easy. Okay, there are just a few parts that you guys need to remember. It's the sinoatrial node. That's the one that will start it. It's the natural pacemaker. And this one initiates the electrical impulse. Sinoatrial node. And then once it generates an impulse, it then go next to the atrioventricular node. So you can see there are anatomical landmarks in the name, right? So the atrium and the ventricles. So there is a node. It will pass it on down to in between the atrium and the ventricle. And there's a node as well. So it's an atrioventricular node. And then after that, this then will delay the impulse slightly. And then it will pass this signal down to the ventricles so that these ventricles will contract and will pass the blood over to the lungs and over to the body. Now, the pathway, once down after this atrioventricular node, it'll go through the bundle of His, which is a big one, and then it will spread to the left and to the right, which is the bundle branches, and then little tiny ones, which would be Purkinje fibers. And they will conduct the impulse to the ventricular muscles. Very easy. It's just like a beating, a rhythm all the time. It's a wave from the atrium, pass it on between the atrium and ventricle, and then to the big central one, the bundle of His, and then the branches, it would spread left and right, and then all the little branches all the way across the muscles of the ventricles. And that's what's happening. Now, when this pathway is impaired, then there will be a requirement for pacing. So if the pathway is failing or the system is too slow, then we need some pacing. And with this, the indications for cardiac pacing mean, these are the three reasons why doctors would do this pacing. One, if the heart is beating very slowly, slow heart rate or bradycardia. Second, if there is a heart block where the electrical signal is delayed between those stages from the sinoatrial node to atrioventricular node or to the bundle of His, if there is a block in there, yeah, then that would be an indication for pacing. Now, this is interesting because the nerve is considered a block, yeah? So nerve flow interruption, that's called a heart block. For me, I'm sharing this with you because when I was learning about these things, it's quite confusing. When you say nerve block, you think that it's the blood that's getting blocked. Because I work in stroke, so it's always, you're talking about the arteries being blocked. But this one with a heart block, it's the different way around. It is the nerve that's getting interrupted. The nerve's impulse is getting interrupted. So if somebody has another reason, if somebody has an atrial fibrillation with slow ventricular response, that's another reason why you would have a pacing. Or when somebody has a heart failure, in some cases, they come in for a cardiac resynchronization therapy. And we'll talk about that at some point. And then you also have cardiac pacing. If you have some or somebody has a congenital or some acquired conduction problem, those are the indication. Rhythm. Something's wrong with the rhythm. Something's wrong with the speed of it. Yeah, pace, rhythm. These are indications for that. And the types of pacemaker, you have many types. Again, this will just be a bonus for occupational therapists to know about. So types of pacemaker, you have single chamber. And in here, you have one lead, either to the right atrium or to the right ventricle. You have dual chamber, where there are two leads, right atrium plus the right ventricle. Or you can have biventricular, and you have leads in both ventricles, possibly the atrium, and this is used for heart failure. So it's a biventricular, two on the ventricles. Again, there are anatomical landmarks in the name. You can have temporary pacemaker, which is used only for short term, and this is post-operatively. And you can see this with heart operations. You would have these temporary pacemakers, or you can have these permanent pacemakers, which are implanted for long-term rhythm management. Moving on, there are modes of pacing. And this is called the NBG code, and it's five-letter system. This is used to describe the pacemaker function. It would be good if you're a cardiac physiologist on the medical side, then you would understand how it works, because the dealing at the end of the day is setting this up. So you have five-letter system code. All right. So you have the first one would be chamber paced, where it is, example would be like atrium, ventricle, and it's dual. The second one would be chamber sensed. So you have AVD, you can have response to sensing, that's the third one, can be inhibited, it can be triggered, can be dual. You can have, the fourth one would be like rate modulation, which is rate responsive. And then the other one would be multi-site pacing, which is AVD. So for example, here in these letters would be DDD is dual mode, dual pacing, dual sensing, dual response. Again, pretend I didn't talk about that. Because it is not within the scope and the realms of occupational therapy. But if you're curious about that, then by all means, find out and learn more about that. Some other terminologies that are out there, there are some basic ECG changes in the pace rhythm. So when there is pacing and this is active, you would identify, you would see it in the monitors that there are different ECG changes. With ventricular pacing, you would have a wider QRS complex. If you have an atrial pacing, you would have a pacing spike before the P wave. And if you have dual chamber pacing, you would have two pacing spikes. So you would have two pacing spikes on the P wave and the QRS. So when you're in an acute setting, and you can see the monitor, the ECG monitor, for example, or the EKG monitor, and you see that, just take note if there is an active pacing, because it could worry you if there is a change of the natural looks of the ECG readings and the ECG looks. What are the complications of pacemaker? So this is good for us to know as occupational therapists. One, there can be a lead dislodgement. Although in my practice for so many years, I have yet seen one. Either we're doing so well or it's being placed properly. So there's a dislodgement. So it's very rare, very rare. And you can have infection. And we have no control of that as well, apart from the topical infection control, making sure that the wound site is clean. But then internally, there's no control of that for an occupational therapist. We can have pocket hematoma, and which would cause some pain, and that needed to be managed medically. you can have a pacemaker syndrome, which is the atrioventricular dyssynchrony. So the synchronization of the contraction of the atrium and the ventricle. And then one of the problems would be a device malfunction. Either the device is oversensing or undersensing it. But then again, we have no control about these things. Okay, so what are some of the tips for our awareness? Again, it's foundational information. Know that patients should avoid strong magnetic fields like MRI unless the device is MRI compatible. And we need, some of the tips would be post-insertion, patients should avoid arm elevation on the same side. And I've always contested that. Again, what are the things that would allow us to reach the arms overhead? Very rarely, unless you're putting up a light bulb. Because even when you are holding your head, you're combing, the arm at best is at almost 100 degrees flexion. Abduction is about 90 degrees even, slightly about 100 degrees. And with that, does it really stretch those wires? A really point of investigation. And we should watch out for syncope or dizziness. And this is the thing that you just need to watch out for. In terms of the functional implications of this, is the syncope or dizziness. So obviously the heart needs to contract and needs to move regularly. And every time the ventricle contracts, it sends the blood over to the heart all the way to the body. And in the body, it will send it to the brain as well. So if there's a problem with ventricular contraction because of pacing or it's too fast or too slow, it will not send appropriate blood all the way to the brain. And the brain is very sensitive to the levels of blood. So any short supply of that, even for a short period of time, a patient would faint. So dizziness is one of those hallmarks that you need to keep an eye on when you are working and when you're dealing with ADL retrainings, for example. There you go. That's very straightforward and very simple when it comes to pacing and pacemaker. Know that it is a device that helps the heart beat regularly or faster. It controls the rhythm of the heart, which is a foundational function of the heart so that we can do the ADLs. In terms of our assessments, at the end of the day, if we are in the hospital, all we need to know is the doctors are there. They need to make sure that the pacing boxes and wires, they're all working. It's their responsibility. But from an occupational therapist's perspective, we need to assess their ADLs. What were they doing prior to admission? What are they going to do after this? There will be some precautions, but it's technically all post-insertion precautions, which is wound management. We need to investigate whether there are really some scenarios or what are the scenarios where there's been some dislodgements. That's worth looking into. The pacemaker, meaning people should be avoiding microwave, for example, or magnetic impedance as well. That's something that you need to be aware of. Now, the question as well is electrotherapy, whether electrotherapy is allowed, because there is also a rhythm on electrotherapy. Again, it's something that should not be allowed. But my argument here again would be, what if it is, if you do the electrotherapy on the legs and on the thigh, for example, or on the opposite arm, and these are very short, low wave that is very localized, that it doesn't go beyond the tissue. And again, worth investigating and worth looking at. Okay, I hope you learned a little something from this conversation and discussion. It's very straightforward, very simple. If you learned something, I hope you did. Share this to your friend. Share the learning. Please share, subscribe, thumbs up, wherever it is. Anything you can do to appease whatever algorithm is out there. If you like it, thank you. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.